Welcome back to Beyond the Numbers. I'm Josh, and this is the podcast where we look beyond the surface level of what success is in the ministry and instead ask the deeper, harder question, is it healthy? In today's topic, we're talking about something a little bit closer to home, pretty much because we're talking about our home life. It's that deep conversation that many of us sometimes don't want to have or we avoid or we pretend like everything is going great with when really we're on the verge of crashing and burning. And that is that delicate balance between our family life and ministry. Today we're talking about how to make sure that those that we're closest to aren't the ones that are getting our empty tank as we pour it out for everyone else and left our families wanting. Thanks for joining me today on Beyond the Numbers. When I'm passionate about something, I'm locked in. I'm focused, whether it's, you know, a new project, a puzzle, a game, this podcast, it becomes my thought process. It becomes the thing that I pour myself into and am really like hyper-focused on. And it's one of those things that it's great because I'm passionate about it, but it also becomes something a little bit different when that passion is the ministry, when it's my work, when it's my job. I mean, that's what most employees would want. But what happens is sometimes I can get so hyper-focused on things that I miss everything else that's going on around. And the problem with that is, well, when we're so focused on ministry, sometimes my family gets left in the wake. When I'm so focused on doing the Lord's work or on that next event or on fixing that message or on those late night phone calls and texts, it's my family that are the ones that are getting the shaft. My wife, when we first got married, was one of my biggest cheerleaders. In fact, she was like the number one volunteer, the first one to ever sign up no matter what ministry I was at. And typically, she would take the jobs that no one else wanted. A lot of times that was middle school and doing small groups with middle schoolers. Nothing against you middle schoolers, but oftentimes that's where we lacked leaders. And so my wife would jump in and she was amazing at it. She would connect with the students and they would grow in relationship and she would teach them how to walk with the Lord. And all of those middle schoolers that she worked with, in fact, all the students that she worked with were continuously growing in their walk. At some churches, it was the need for a worship team. And so again, my wife would jump in right away and help put together a team and start doing practices and figure out who knew what instruments and who could sing and did an amazing job leading those groups. She served faithfully no matter where we were. The thing is depending on the church, the expectations that the church had on her were wildly different. Some churches, they let her serve how she wanted and when she wanted. Other churches, they wanted every hour of her time and to micromanage those. Mind you, she wasn't paid by those churches. Some even wanted to mold her into something that she wasn't. And for me, a lot of times I'd get left trying to balance out pleasing my bosses while at the same time realizing that I'm neglecting my wife's emotional health. And then we had kids. And deep down, we both knew that we didn't want kids that we kind of hear those stories about. You know, the pastor's kids that spiral out and want nothing to do with the ministry because they've seen how it kind of rips the family apart. They see the church wounds. And so because of that, they deconstruct, they walk away. That is not the story that we wanted for our kids. And so it became this kind of war within me. How do I balance out ministry and how do I balance out my family without one or the other lacking? In fact, I remember a conversation I had with a lead pastor at one point when we were planning on having our firstborn. She was a couple months away and I remember sitting down and having this conversation and sharing kind of that fear that was within me. That fear that I didn't want my kids to resent the church or what the church made dad do and miss out on their life. And that pastor looked at me and shared a story deep from within his heart. And it was when he had kids that were very young and they approached him and they said, hey dad, you know what? We feel like you love the church. You love your congregation. you love the families of the church, you love the kids of the church more than you love us. And I sat there waiting for the wisdom that was going to pour out, because I knew that that answer was going to be on key and the answer to everything that I was kind of searching for at that moment. And his response to his kids was, "That's absolutely right. I do, because that's what Jesus would do." And I didn't show it on my face, but in that moment, there was a shock that kind of went across me. I was blown away by that answer. And I remember the one thought going through my head was, that's not healthy. If people in our home feel like they're replaced by the church, that's not Christ-like, that's broken. And the problem is that most churches won't flat out say, hey, the church trumps family. But a lot of times, if you look at some of the different policies that are set up and some of the choices that they make for their staff and their staff's family, oftentimes you see how there's this push away, how there's this thing where they expect the ministry to come first and your family to come second. Around that same time that we were getting ready for my first child's birth, I had a conversation and a sit down with human resources at our church, because there was no paternity plan set up. There was nothing in our staff manual about a paternity plan, because I was the youngest staff member by several decades. And so I remember going into this meeting, I looked at what some of the state guidelines were for paternity leave. And we found that the state that we were living in had an amazing paternity plan. I mean, a good amount of time off, good time to really build our family and everything like that. And so I went into this meeting realizing that we were in a pretty good state for our future kid. And so in that meeting, we sat down, and one of the first things that this human resources pastor said was, "I just want you to know, as we plan out this paternity plan, yes, our state has quite a good amount of time off and, you know, payment for paternity leave. But just to let you know, we are a nonprofit, so we don't have to follow the state guidelines." Now, I got a decent amount of time off. It was nowhere near what the state said should have been the time off. And I'm not so much complaining about that, but listen to that statement. We don't have to follow the state's guidelines. Yes, it's better than what we're going to offer, but we're a church. In essence, you have to be okay with the sacrifice. When you have plans in place like that, when you talk that way, when it seems like the world has better things for the family than the church does, then maybe there's a deeper problem and a deeper issue there. So me and my wife made the choice early on that our family and our girls wouldn't just survive the ministry, but they would be a part of it. And so it might look like at times where you see one of my daughters maybe helping with some announcements, helping with some setup, preaching to an empty room after the service. But they're there. They're around. They see what daddy's doing. They're to a degree part of it. And I promise it's not cringe, it's cute. But more than cute, the things that we do with our girls around the ministry are intentional. It's intentional because we want our students to see that ministry isn't just something that happens here, that ministry isn't just what I'm doing here, but that ministry is life, and most importantly, ministry encompasses the family. And we want our kids to see that the ministry isn't something that takes away daddy, but it's something that they can be a part of together as my family. And the truth is that these things that we've set up, we've started to see the fruits from. I had a graduate not too long ago pull me aside and say, "Hey, you know, I see the way that you and your wife are with your girls and how you guys are as a family unit, how you guys care about each other and how you're there for your kids." And all I gotta say is it's setting a guideline for what I wanna make sure my family is like in the future. And for some students, let's be honest, they might not have the best idea of what a family unit even looks like or how it should be. Maybe they've never been a part of a healthy family structure, and yet to see their pastor in that role as husband and father in healthy ways reflecting Christ, to them it speaks greater volumes than sometimes even the messages and the sermons that we speak. And sometimes some of those same people within our congregation will connect in a real and deeper way with my wife because they see her in that mother role. They see her in that leader role. Or maybe they'll connect a little bit with my daughters and it'll help open up them from their shells. And the truth is, if they're doing that, if they're connecting with my wife or my daughters, maybe sometimes even more than me, I don't see that as a threat. I see that as something that's beautiful because God is using my family to touch and change others. It's not a distraction. It's not a threat. It's a rhythm and a presence of modeling done to those that I pastor. And I would love to say that I have nailed this down. I'm 100% on top of this, making sure that that balance is really struck between my family and my ministry. But the truth is that it's not. It's still a work in progress. And believe me, there have been plenty more times where I've failed to show up for my family and instead the ministry came first. There were the times that I gave 150% for my job and worked 80 and 90 hour weeks and then got home and had nothing else because my tank was empty for my family. I've also worked for churches that didn't want my family visible during ministry times or in ministry spaces. And so because of that, there was a degree where I almost had to push my family away. And it became that line of, this is what daddy does ministry-wise, and this is where we are. But then I've also worked for churches that were okay with my family being visible in ministry time. They were happy to see my girls at the back of a youth worship night worshiping God in a real way. They saw families as not a distraction, but as part of the discipleship process. And can I ask you, when you compare those kind of two examples, which one do you think is healthier? Today, I want to share with you what I've learned. Not as an expert. Sometimes out of trial and error and through the hard ways. But I want to talk to you about how you can keep your family in focus while still showing up in the ministry. The truth is that if we're not careful, the ministry itself can be the very thing that breaks our family, that crashes our home. Here's the truth. With everything that is attacking our families, our wives, our husbands, our spouses, our kids, the ministry can be the one thing that actually breaks down your family and your home if we're not careful. I mean, oftentimes we justify that and many other things in the name of the calling. We convince ourselves that the grind is a holy thing and we just have to keep chugging along. And so what happens is we say yes to everything church related, but then have nothing left for our family in time with them, in connection with them. Our spouses and our kids' tanks are empty while we've overflowed within our ministry. Worse is that there are some churches that expect this imbalance. They expect you to work harder. They expect you to do more, but then offer nothing of flex time or time to connect with your family. In fact, I'm sure many of us kind of grew up with this mentality almost of, we have to lay down our family in the sake of the ministry, that it's okay, there are sacrifices that are required. And we can say that and rationalize that, but something breaks down when you stare in your kids' eyes and you realize they have received less contact with you than some of the students and congregation members that you see on a daily basis. Let me say this clearly. Your family is not in the way of your ministry. Your family is your first ministry. So the question is, what does health look like when it comes to your family? How do you lead your ministry and your family well without any feeling the lack? It starts off with realizing this. Healthy ministry honors your family first. That doesn't mean that we check out of ministry because of family. It doesn't mean we pour everything into family and we slack off in our ministry, but it means striking out that balance that both are fulfilled and both receive the same amount of passion and energy. It means including your family even within your ministry space. And for every person, their context is going to look a little bit different. But to give you an idea of what that context looks like with me and the kind of balance that we've struck together with, is when it comes to ministry time, you might see my girls, as I said, at the back worshiping God during worship times. My wife standing back there with them and them praising God as the students are leading our worship. It might also look like on certain events, my family may come along. Not as a distraction, but you know, if we're going out to eat with some students, they may sit at the table with the students, they may sit a table away. But the idea is they are still within daddy's orbit. It also, in a side way, actually looks great when it comes to the students, because the students see me not just in the role of a pastor, but they also see me showing them an example of a father and a good, caring husband. I had someone a long time ago share with me that discipleship isn't something that just happens from the stage, but discipleship is inviting people, and in my case, the students, to see what life looks like as a Christian husband, as a Christian leader, as a Christian man of God. So that person would say that they would, you know, sometimes if there were students that were free, they'd go shopping with students, grocery shopping, just to see how life happens. And in the same way, when my students see me not only in the role of a pastor, but also as the role of the head of the household or the husband or the father, they see and grow in their discipleship because they're seeing the example of some of those things. And in some cases, it's that very example that they've missed out on in their family life. So how do we build this into our everyday rhythm? How do we create actionable steps and living this out? How do we make sure our family doesn't get our leftovers and that they receive the love and the care that they deserve? The first thing is this: clarify expectations. That means if you're married, sit down with your spouse, hear their heart, and figure out together what ministry looks like for you as a couple. I mean, is there involvement that they want? Is this a season in time where they don't want to be involved? But that way, as you have that conversation and as you open up those doors, you can begin to see their heart as well and clarify what the expectations are. Maybe you want them plugged in, but they're not ready to be plugged in. Or maybe you're not giving them enough of an opportunity to be plugged in. And they're like, hey, I want to lead a small group. Hey, I want to help with worship. I want to do XYZ. But clarify what those expectations are. And then it's one of those things that it's not like you do it once and then you're covered for the rest of your life. But let it be a conversation that you revisit as seasons change. My wife's involvement before we had kids looks different now that we have kids. My wife used to help out with small groups and help lead worship and everything like that. But now that our girls are here, she still wants them within dad's orbit. But in the same aspect, she wants to make sure that she is there for our girls and pouring into our girls. And so she doesn't have as much time and energy to pour into small groups or to pour into a worship team. And so we had to revisit that conversation and set up what new expectations and what new boundaries are there. Set up those expectations, open that conversation, that dialogue with your spouse so that you can both understand where you guys are. And then again, visit that as seasons in life changes. Revisit those conversations. The second thing, protect non-negotiables. There are important things in our life to our family. Maybe that's a dinner time around the table, or maybe it's bath time or story time before bed. Start talking it out with your family and figure out what the non-negotiables are for your family. And then once you figure those out, set those boundaries. Hey, listen, I'm available between these times. I'm available to do this, this, and this. But then when it comes to my kids' bedtime, I can't cancel that. This is a non-negotiable. My kids are going to be tucked in by me every night. Yes, there may be a youth trip that comes up every once in a great while, and we make some flex time for that. But as a whole, these nights of the week, I'm going to be here to tuck my kids in. This is a non-negotiable. And so because of that, you plan accordingly. But set up those non-negotiables and then protect those non-negotiables. And with that, be strategic with your time. That's number three. Be strategic with your time. And for every person, this is going to look different. But for me, I'm a full-time pastor. I'm a full-time father. And then at the same aspect, even when I started this podcast or doing my different hobbies, I have to be strategic with the time that I have so that not one of those areas is found lacking. And so when it comes to this podcast, I'm shooting this podcast early in the morning before my family wakes up or late at night after they go to bed. There are certain hobbies that I do when my family is not around, and that way it's not stealing their time. Sometimes when we're juggling many, many different things, we have to be strategic in how we plan and how we use our time, because the truth is it's one of the few resources that is limited. Once a day is spent, you never get that chance to do that day again. And so you have to be strategic with the time that you're doing and the time that you're using with your family, with your ministry, with your hobbies, and everything else. Number four is advocate for flex time. I realize not every church is going to be open to this, but I think it's important for you to start that dialogue with your staff, with your human resources, with leaders, even just to replicate that in the way that you do ministry, even with your volunteers. If you've done a summer camp that has eaten up 90 to 100 hours of 1 week, as I said earlier, time is the one resource you can't get back. You will never get that week back. But it's important to try to plan in and build in that flex time. So yes, my family missed me last week, but this week I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to take that extra time off because I worked so hard that last week. I'm going to make sure that I have extra days to pour into my family, to fill up their tank for what they've missed out on last week. And if your church doesn't have flex time set in, and it's a conversation worth starting and worth having, and at the very least, make sure that you are modeling that to your family, but then also to your leaders and volunteers. Number five, say no to the savior complex. As I said, when I'm passionate about something, I am all in, I'm locked in, I'm focused. It is my world. And that is a great thing, and it's also not a great thing. Especially as pastors, sometimes we can have this savior complex that we are doing so many different things and juggling so many different things, and we're there to help others, and we're there to build life in others, and we're there to help and be a light to all the different people that we're pouring into, and we start to see ourselves as a savior, and we forget the fact that we are not the savior, but Jesus is. And more than anything, we're called to be a shepherd. But when we step into that role, what often happens is all of those that we're ministering to, all of those within our church, we are a savior to, but then our family is the one that's lacking. We have to remember that first and foremost, we're a shepherd. But then on top of that, we are called to lead and build health in our families. So we have to be careful that we are not falling into that savior complex and saving everyone else while our family is left drowning. And then the final thing, number six, is to let your family be present without the pressure. Don't hide your family. Let them be seen. I realize in every context it's going to look a little bit different, but don't push your family away. Don't say, hey, this is ministry time and you go off and do your own thing and then we'll meet up back at home. But find those ways that you can incorporate your family, even if they're just in the background, into your ministry life. If they want to serve, let them serve. If they just want to be around you just to breathe, let them do that. Don't always push this pressure of they have to serve and they have to do this and they have to do that and putting on all of these expectations that are just going to weigh them down. Half the time when we're weighed down by expectations, we then transfer that onto our family. And believe me, I have been there before. I have done that before. We have to choose not to do that, but let our family be visible without feeling that pressure of having to perform. Maybe as I'm talking about these things and sharing these things, there's that guilt that's rising up within you. Maybe you're coming off of an argument with your spouse, not argument, disagreement with your spouse, and then you watch or listen to this and you're like, man, did they have like a mic hidden in our house that they heard this conversation? Maybe you are feeling weighed down by these choices and these regrets that you've made because you know that your family is not taking first place. If that's you, then first and foremost, I want you to realize that there is grace. There's grace given to us by God, and there is grace for those mistakes. Now, it doesn't mean keep chugging along and keep pushing along and bulldozing our family, but it means starting to make those choices to change. You can't get that time back, but you can make the choices today to start changing in the way that you react and act to your family. And maybe that starts off with an apology. Apologizing to your spouse, apologizing to your kids, and admitting, and that's the hard thing because it's a very pride-centered thing. We don't want to admit that we're wrong, but maybe admitting to them, hey, I realize it seems like the ministry has come first. I realize the ministry has come first, but I want to start making those changes. I want to start prioritizing you guys. It starts with being honest, with owning it. And maybe it's looking at your calendar and realizing, hey, have I scheduled some meetings, some different things that can be put at any other time instead of missing out on the non-negotiables? Or maybe it's a conversation that needs to happen with your church. And if your church isn't flexible with that, if your church says that they care about the family, but everything that they're telling you, everything that they're showing you, every guideline that they've set up says the opposite, then maybe it's beyond a conversation. Maybe it's time to start praying about, God, are you telling me that it's time to start transitioning? I think the biggest thing that we need to realize is this. Your family was not made to be sacrificed on the altar of ministry. I mean, as a leader, how can we healthily, how can we lead others if our family can't be led by us? If our family is in all sorts of dysfunction, how can we help guide others to Christ when we're struggling with our own home? I know this topic can be kind of a raw issue. It can hit home for a lot of us. That tension, that balance between our calling and the ones that we love the most, our family. The truth is that you don't have to choose between being an effective leader and an effective parent. You don't have to choose between being a strong ministry leader and a healthy home. You can do both. It will never be perfect, but you can start making those changes. You can try your best and be faithful and do it with intentionality. So here's my challenge to you this week. Do one thing for your family that shows that they are priority. Maybe that means turning off your cell phone during a family meal. Maybe that means canceling a meeting. Maybe that means taking a day away with your family to show them that they have your attention and that you care for them, their heart, their emotions. And most importantly, they have your most valuable resource. They have your time. Whatever you do, choose to do it today. You can't get back what you've wasted the other days, but you can start to make that choice today, not to waste another day, another moment, another second. Because the truth is, your family doesn't need your title. They need you. And if you're carrying regret from other seasons, remember the grace, but also remember that change starts today. I hope that there was something in today's podcast that stood out to you. Maybe this is a struggle that you've had, or maybe you've nailed it down. You have that balance perfectly. And if so, hats off to you. I would love to know how you do it. But if there was anything that jumped out to you, do me a favor, like, subscribe, comment. If there was something that maybe not to you, but you know that this is needed for someone else, then do me a favor and share this video with someone who really needs it. I mean, don't be obvious and be like, hey, you know, you really need to prioritize your time. But open that door, open that conversation, show that you care about them. Next week, we're going to be diving into a really personal topic. We're going to be talking about a genetic disease that I was born with, a genetic disease that has caused me a lot of pain, suffering, and issues throughout my life. And yet through that pain, God has not only been faithful, but God has done miraculous and wonderful things using it for his glory. Next week, we're going to talk about the pain that shaped me. Again, it looks to be a really raw one, but if you've ever found yourself suffering from something, then this one is for you, because the truth is that God does not waste a tear that we've shed. But no matter what we've been through, God still has a plan and a purpose and can use it for his glory. My hope is that it brings hope to anyone going through situations that seem bigger than them. So I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Until then, keep showing up for your family. Keep pouring out that love and that attention. Keep being the best example of Christ you can be to your spouse and to your kids. And let's do this together as we work together to build a healthy ministry that goes beyond the numbers. Thanks. Your family hasn't been being treated for...